talk with you again, because a vision softly creeping left its scenes while I was sleeping. And the vision that was planted in my brain still dreams. I walked alone, narrow streets of cobblestone, neath the halo of a street lamp. I turned my collar to the cold and damp, when my eyes were stunned by the flash of a neon light that split the night and touched the sound of silence. And in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more, people talking without speaking, people hearing.
It's interesting to study through history, the words of others, the things that we forget, the things that we paid little nor attention to. G.K. Chesterton once said that when men stop believing in God, they don't believe in nothing. They believe in anything. Good evening. Welcome to a Tuesday night installment of The Edge of Darkness. Tuesday night, a night that you normally will tune in for economic commentary, none of which will take place tonight. Last night's program was, for some of you who stayed tuned in, who listened, who understood, it was profound. In many respects, it was a to some degree a reawakening. I can't say that completely. It was an angry program for me last night. For those of you who stayed with us, I made the comment that it would be just as easy to pull a plug right then and there and end it all. No, I don't mean pull a plug on a 45. I'm talking about pull a plug on the program. Because I realized after these 27 and a half years of being on the air, that what difference has it really made? In the scheme of things, we've reached a few people. I don't mean reaching them from the standpoint of having them tune in and listen to a broadcast every night, or listen to a babble, or listen to whatever. We've reached a few people who have made a change in their life, made some differences in their lives and the lives of others. But how many have we really reached? How many have we made some of those differences for? who chose to get up off their rear ends and make commitments and make changes for their family, for maybe their communities, their neighborhoods, whatever. The rise in, should we call it the occult as a religion, has most definitely infused leftist ideology. And my friends, I think you would have to agree or maybe begin to understand that what we talked about last night proves that this leftist ideology is growing at the expense of Christianity. As children, we were told that witches were not real. They were merely the villains in many a fairy tale and so easily defeated by the good, the kind, and the true heroes of the stories. But as we grew, we learned that there were, in fact, people out there who claimed to be witches. But man, you know, they weren't all that bad, right? And yet today, as adults, we see the plethora of occult paraphernalia that has flooded the marketplace of ideas and commerce. Neo-paganism and New Age are trying to supplant Christianity in America. And as much as I hate to admit it, I believe more and more it's taking place. According to a Pew Research study, the rise in unaffiliated non-Christian faith in the United States grew by 6.7% between 2007 and 2014. Merely 23% of respondents identified as atheist, agnostic, or nothing in particular. And of those who identified as nothing in particular, nearly 7% said religion was important to them. The reality is that man was meant to worship something. It's just how we're wired. As we opened at this quote from Christian apologist G.K. Chesterton, when men stop believing in God, they don't believe in nothing. They believe in anything. Neo-paganism and New Age are seducing religious seekers in their search for answers to life's deepest questions. But what are neo-paganism and New Age? According to the LA Progressive, a self-described platform for progressive thought, opinion, and perspectives on current events, these movements were spiritual alternatives that gained traction and popularity in the 1970s as a result of economic decline. And the New Age movement is a mishmash of different religious systems, including Hinduism, astrology, yoga, crystals, manifestations, hallucinogenics, and other means to heal yourself, and try to make up for past lives, missteps. Past lives, missteps. I guess that one confuses me because I didn't have a past life. I live and survive and exist in this life. Neo-paganism encompasses a range of different religious ideas such as pantheism, animism, polytheism, Satanism, witchcraft. Oh, that doesn't mean we're going to go to a song by Sinatra. Neo-paganists believe in magic, the power of nature, and that you have the magical power within you to make things happen by sheer will, just because you want it to happen. Of course, they're also more prone to directly pervert and mock Christian practices in their liturgy and religious ceremonies. Religions are focused on elevating self and one's own experience at the highest form of truth and good. And yet, this New Age and this neo-paganism are vehemently against Christianity. In fact, Angela Yuki, former New Ager who practiced astrology, described it as being antagonistically against Christianity. And Uki or Uchi or whatever her name is was later interviewed by political pundit Michael Knowles as a very enlightening testimony about her time as a New Ager and her conversion to Christianity. The glorification of neo-paganism is evident in mainstream Hollywood. FX is a subsidiary of Disney, even produced an adult animation series called Little Demon that featured one of the main characters as a witch. And the actress Aubrey Plaza, who voiced that character, blatantly said, "I love that we are normalizing paganism." Why would she love that? Because it's the embodiment of chaos. New Age is so prevalent in the mainstream that some of its ideas have even infiltrated Christians' belief systems. And according to another Pew Research poll, 6 in 10 Christians say they also believe in one of the New Age belief systems, those being spirituality and objects, belief in physics, belief in astrology, or belief in reincarnation. Enter leftist ideologues. Climate change, transgenderism, abortion, cancel culture, even critical race theory have their poisonous roots in New Age and neo-pagan religious ideas. And under the auspices of New Age fall CRT and cancel culture. The tenets of CRT and cancel culture emphasize the importance of what they call lived experience or special knowledge, manifestation of your best life. They emphasize the importance of lived experience. Maybe I'm mispronouncing that. Maybe it's lived experience. Under neo-paganism fall climate change, queer gender theory, abortion, effectively considered a religious sacrament by Satanists. Neo-paganism seeks to upend society and boundaries in favor of chaos and unfettered individual autonomy. And so this rise in New Age mysticism and paganism is getting ever more prevalent in the mainstream culture. In Tyler, Texas, over this past weekend, Satanists who would go into the neo-paganism column had a booth at a pagan pride event. And the Morning Telegraph, a local paper covering the event, quoted the event organizer, Rainey Castaneda, as saying that the event was not satanic, just an alternative celebration of non-Abrahamic religions. She said, there's kids trick-or-treating, people getting their faces painted. We're not doing anything satanic or any crazy rituals. We're just existing. Because she must have missed the part where the satanic temple booth was preforming unbaptisms for $10 and handing out certificates that literally said all bonds of servitude have been broken. Power and agency have been restored. Thyself is thy master. Hail Satan! But then maybe Castaneda does not understand what satanic is. New Age and neo-paganism are the religious underpinnings of the most radical leftist ideological movements whose aim is the destruction of American society as a whole. Christ preaches about the denial of the self in Matthew 16, 24 and 26. And following him, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. From John 14, 6. It is so simple. New Age and neo-paganism are regressive, transgressive, and do not bring the satisfaction or happiness that they promise to bring, mostly because their focus is entirely on self. I would think that oneself is a very poor deity indeed. Is it not? Commentary, Emmy Griffin, The Patriot Post. You know, it's conversations I had with a listener late last night who tuned in for the entire program last night. And discussion about programming in general was brought up predominantly by me, only from the standpoint that I tried to explain to him that over the years, I don't necessarily pre-plan a program. There are, in many cases, minutes before going on the air that something jumps out at me, makes a distinct direction or change in what was originally planned. That was not necessarily the case last night. Or was it? It certainly was with what we've just opened this program with tonight. It was less than 5 minutes before going on the air that I came across this piece by Emmy and realized it was the right thing to do. Man. It was a good way to pick up from what we left off. And it becomes important to do that. Why? Clean up, follow up, whatever you'd like it to be. I'm not going to continue on with this direct topic tonight. Because I think what we've said what we've had to say. I don't think there's any need to go any further with it. Oh, you know, I'm doing some fast scrolling somewhere else, and oh my goodness, we could continue on with it, maybe. But I'm not going to. Interesting. Very interesting. How was your day? Or maybe I should ask, how was your evening last night after you did tune in and listen to the program? Turn you off? Make you close your eyes? Or did you just go outside and hand out candy? Another satanic holiday. Becomes so interesting. You know, there's so much rampant relativism in America today that only the few who care about the future of this nation and the heritage made it a once great nation understand that the liberty of which we are so zealous is as fictitious as Santa Claus. Or maybe more so. As a nation filled with IRS beholden churches whose preachers cannot involve themselves in the political morality of the day or the ethics dictated by the Christian faith or even the public displays of the symbols of our faith, lest some be offended and take matters to court, we are filled with churchians who agree with whatever our government says about God. Oh, even to whether he exists. We should be a nation of fiery pulpits rather than teachers who tickle ears for the sake of building membership numbers and bowing to the dictates of the tolerance and diversity peddlers whose influences manifest everywhere. But sadly, we're not a nation of fiery pulpits, but of merchandisers of feel-good religion with bigger buildings and smaller messages of little to no import. And barely a word of true gospel. We're not ashamed to tell the pollsters, however they do polls, that we're Christian. But we seem very afraid to tell our neighbors or to follow the commands of the Lord who died for our sins and rose for our justification. In fact, we just might not be too sure that this faith is the way, the truth, and the life, as the Master said of himself and his church. And if we really more or less believe we cannot fight the old city hall, whether it be in Podunk or Washington, D.C., we might get in trouble with the government that teaches a separation of church and state as constitutional when that phrase isn't even in the Constitution. Go ahead. It's on the Internet. You might even be astonished that most of our laws really are unconstitutional. Oh, yeah. These are the days, my friends, when it can be dangerous to be a Christian in America. These are the days when it can be dangerous to be an honest, law-abiding unbeliever of such leads to speaking out against the corruption of the system that stifles honest capitalism in favor of multinational globalist elitism. And these are the days when people no longer feel that they can speak their minds. They're afraid of their neighbors and even their relatives. And the people live in fear. And older folks can recall a time just over 40-some-odd years ago when no American had to live in fear of what they believe within the basics of the laws of any civil society. Laws against murder, assault, pedophilia, sodomy, and others that were generally believed to be the skeleton laws needed by a free society to rein in sociopaths who would do harm to all. No, free speech wasn't public obscenity. Free speech was the freedom to speak out against the ills that creep into any social order through the sinful nature of man and the penchant of the strong to grind the weak under their heels. After all, this was America, where all men were created equal under the laws of the land, as enumerated in our founding documents and locally enacted, and at times rescinded laws by our elected representatives. We are, and always have been, a federal republic, not a democracy. But don't even try to tell me this is a free country. The tactics employed by the snoopers and the courts and the men in black uniforms who look more like space aliens than humans, and the prosecutors who misuse the law to prod the population into submission by the devil's tactics of manipulation, intimidation, and domination speak more of a totalitarian government than Red China's uniformed guards. But we're just more subtle about the fact that the government has taken away the freedom of the press and the freedom of the representatives elected to office and the entire Bill of Rights that allows the people to dictate to the government how we, the people, shall be governed and by whom. More money has been poured into education than any other effort than perhaps defense. Or that sinkhole for taxpayer dollars called Medicare, which is a good intention gone to pave the highway to debtor's hell. Things to certainly consider. For my friends, we fell into liberalism, which some have described as a mental illness. And well, could well be. I'm going to take a break for a few minutes. Stay with us, won't you?
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening live virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC.
Commercials were running, I shot Michael a note and said, hey, let's see if you can find a decent tune for coming back. Let it run. I don't quite think money was what I had in mind. But I must say that that's seems to be what maybe is and maybe isn't on most people's minds. Not necessarily for the right reasons. Before we went to the break, we left a statement that we fell into liberalism, which some have described as a mental illness. And it may well be. We have two political parties. They both scare the daylights out of anyone who has looked into the erasure of our national borders. The dilution of our European cultural heritage, along with the destruction of Europe's Christian and nationalistic cultural heritage. Scares the average person to know how much we don't know about what is happening to us. It's even scarier to have to depend on the Internet Press Corps, a loose coalition of patriots, some with valid and careful observations, others with wild sensationalism to add to the fear factor. You know, it's interesting that I've just shared this with you. As I mentioned earlier, I was up fairly late with a lengthy conversation with a listener. And I don't know if I can find this particular comment that he left me last night. Oh, maybe this was one of them. It's simple. You may be offended. His comment was that someone should tell the junior presenters that they come off as snot-nosed kids on the air. I understood what he meant. Not because, as most of you folks know, I don't listen to other broadcasts. But that's nothing that's new to me. I've done it that way for almost 28 years. Because I don't wish to be influenced by what they say, how they speak of a particular subject. Others with wild sensationalism to add to the fear factor. That kind of fits, doesn't it, Doc? You know, the advertisers know what people feel they're missing. So we get repetitive catchwords like empower and control and manage and take charge and others that tell any cautious observer that those words hit a nerve because we've lost all feeling that we have any control over our lives or our future, our nation, the world that was to be built for the sake of our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. What the hell happened? Liberalism crept into every strategic office and every meaningful area of our lives, from the highest offices of the land to the smallest classroom. What was meant to integrate has divided. What was meant to educate has come to indoctrinate. And what was once the path to building a better America became the road to globalist control of the masses under a system that even Stalin would envy. Years without having to defend liberty on our native soil, which we should have been doing rather than trusting our politicians and the do-gooder cover-ups, euphemistically named non-governmental organizations, to preserve sucker fish and cone snails while grabbing off land for United Nations control has left us just comfortable and wimpy and fearful and weak and bowing to the balls of governments making, that's B-A-A-L-S, and the elitist control while deviously persuading Christians that they must accept all sinners and their sins out of love. That the public at large of whatever or no religious persuasion must accept vaccination regardless of the poisons it inserts into the systems of children too young to absorb such chemicals. The elderly are victims of the I and me and my and mine syndrome that says family's an obligation under the supervision of the state. And that if the elderly are in the way, then they must be shifted off to old age cages where they can die from something that they never had until they arrived there. Think about some of these things. The public at large of whatever or no religious persuasion must accept vaccinations regardless of the poisons it inserts into the systems of children too young to absorb such chemicals. 5-year-old children and younger being vaccinated. You know, people, when we were free as a nation under God, we had less disease, less crime, more respect for authority that deserved respect. And we had a moral compass that is now somewhere in the bowels of Atlantis. Do not ask the way to correct things. For too many people know, and far too many are afraid that it might disrupt their comfort zones. Oh, of course, well, you know, Christians could return to their faith once delivered and pray, having in many cases forgotten the power and the privilege of prayer. My country fell to the liberals, and the crumbling began publicly in the 1960s, but it wasn't outright oppression until the 1990s. And now illegal invaders have more rights than citizens, courtesy of continued renegade governments and a sold-out political machine. Perhaps a new generation of Mr. Smiths needs to come to Washington and every state capital. Idealists who don't give up and say it's too big for all of us. After all, dominators are bullies, and bullies are just cowards who are able to convince the majority that they have the power when it's we who have it. And we've sat back and let them steal it. Guess it just depends on whether comfort is more important than integrity and whether liberty was worth the price it once commanded. It is interesting where, when we open this program tonight, made the statement about forgetting the words of those who came before us. Some of these things become interesting to me. The words of G.K. Chesterton. When men stop believing in God, they don't believe in nothing. They believe in anything. I think of these words that I've just shared with you for this past bit of time. Written June 4th in the year 2006. Under the title, When My Country Fell to the Liberals. The public never knew what happened. Written by Dorothy Ann Cease. Dorothy Ann Cease, if I've been a while since I shared this story, was a child actress in Hollywood back in the 1930s. Most well known for her role as Phronsie Pepper in the Five Little Peppers series of films. And later in life, she became a freelance political writer for Patchwork Papers and a regular contributor for the First Generation Federal Observer. At the time of this post I've just shared with you, Ms. Cease had been retired after 25 years as a legal secretary and assistant, and prior to that for over 15 years as a business systems and procedures analyst. But her hobby was freelance writing. She was a native of Southern California. Dorothy Ann Cease resided in Sun City, Arizona, just 20-odd minutes from where I live. And she passed December of 2015 of cancer. I was introduced to Dorothy Ann through Granny. Granny and I are getting up there. Oh, Granny's got a couple years on me. But not in the mind. We've got so much in common in the mind. We connected so many years ago. And look what's happened. Granny, like I, has got to ask the question, why do we do what we do? Why do we write of what we write of or speak of what we speak of? It's to teach, to educate, to maybe make a difference. Maybe last night I reached you. Maybe tonight I reached you. Maybe tonight the words of Dorothy Ann Cease reached you. And will make a difference in the way you conduct your life from this day forward. And in a case like that, we've done what we're supposed to do. And that makes it worthwhile to me. It becomes ever more shocking. Does it not? We're days away from another election. Both sides are starting to scream fraud. I came across an article last night that claimed that there's four states in the country that are leaning toward fraud. Here's the problem. The article was written by a supporter of the Democratic Party who is now claiming that the four states that are there are probably going to be commit fraud are the same states that the Republicans claimed committed fraud 4 years ago or 2 years ago. It's all a joke. It is all truly a joke. And so the question that I may have presented to you several days ago comes up and arises once again. Why do we accept deception? Politics under our form of government were never intended to be about power. But then truth is often difficult to express. To tell the truth is to acknowledge both successes and shortcomings. But tragically, failure has overtaken the truth, compelling politicians to spread lies and mislead the public in an effort to solidify their positions of power and garner support for their administrations. Is the incessant onslaught of lies that politicians tell us the result of their dishonesty, or maybe of our propensity to believe them? Seems that both sides are responsible. The general population for their willingness to tolerate falsehoods if it advances their beliefs, and politicians for their improper exploitation of the people they serve. Aha, but you see, that is the problem. The politicians do not serve we the people. And they haven't for a very, very long time. And yet, due to our foolish desire to believe them, the politicians' lies are effortless to tell. We've grown so used to politicians lying to us that we consider it a routine facet of everyday life. And when discussing candidates during an election, the issue is often not who lies, but who lies the least or the best. But the dilemma is not exclusively the responsibility of one party. No, this is a problem that affects both the parties. And this may be offensive, but considering the two previous presidents, it's become very evident that both Donald Trump and Joe Biden are liars. Joe Biden is brain dead, so he can't be blamed. Trump, I share with you, for a long time I had problems with him. My biggest problems were the fact that, I guess I can openly call it, the Twitter presidency. Continues to spend time on his cell phone sending little Twitter messages off. You know, we would never tolerate a friend or a family member, a coworker who lied to the level that politicians do. So why do we support strangers whom we know intend to deceive us? Why do people wear T-shirts displaying the name of their favorite politician? Why do they put bumper stickers with their names on their cars? Why do they disparage, alienate, abandon strangers, family members, and friends in defense of these utter liars? I don't, and I won't. No, thank you. For the lies they tell us are destructive to us all, especially those who are in dire need of the outcomes of the promises made to them. Minorities in impoverished areas should be able to rely on the candidates' promises of a better tomorrow. Factory workers should be able to rely on assurances that their jobs will not be outsourced. And young children and their parents should be able to rely on official assurances that their children will receive a quality education, which they don't any longer. And let us be perfectly clear. The public is at fault because the people cannot handle the truth. Because the truth contradicts their core concepts of right and wrong, as well as their views of reality and fiction. The truth often compels people who are already prone to cling to their views to alter their viewpoints. And politicians know this. And they're also aware that it's exceedingly difficult to change people's minds, and as a result, lying is no longer dangerous for them. Because it becomes simple and lucrative and virtually the only obvious course of action when a politically harmful situation emerges. I know, man. I can hear it. Thanks. My friends, in closing, if we held our leaders accountable for their deceit, we might envision a future with fewer problems and greater prosperity. It may be simpler to lie than to accept criticism. And it may be more challenging to keep authority while acknowledging one's flaws. And nevertheless, politics under our form of government were never intended to be about power. The highest levels of government should be occupied by noble men and women willing to sacrifice their personal prosperity in pursuit of liberty. And may all we be gone. Thank you for your time and consideration this evening. Lord willing, I'll see you tomorrow night without apology. I am Jeffrey Bennett.
And walked into the flame. It's hard to love. There's so much to hate. Hanging on to hope. When there is no hope to speak out. In the wounded skies above. Say it's much too late. Then maybe we should all be praying for time. Do the Lord. Do you think we have time? Do you? Do you think we have time? The empty hand. Oh, we hold on to what you can. And charity, charity is the coat you wear twice a year. Yeah, this is the year of the guilty man. Your television takes a stand, and you find that what was over there is over here. So you scream from behind your door. Say what's mine is mine and not yours. I may have too much, but I'll take my chance and say I sang it 20 years and a day. There's nothing changed. The human race found some other guy and walked into the flames. It's hard to love. Jesus has so much to hate. Hanging on to woe. There is no hope to speak out. In the wounded skies above. Say it's much too late. Then maybe we should all be praying for time. Do you think we have time? Do you? Do you think we have time? Lord, give us time.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
You can't. can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.